the Grillin' Guys.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last show before we celebrate the birth of our Lord. That's a great thing, man. Merry Christmas to you all
Merry
out there.
Merry Christmas.
And Barbecue Bob and I are prepping for family get-togethers, I'm sure. But I am Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, you got that right. We are prepping. And yeah. I was prepping before I came into the show this morning.
Yeah?
Because every
there?
Time I talk about these different sausages I've been making, you tend to think that
you made sausage Sammy's.
I did, and that's
I gotta have one. Then.
That's Allie's homemade sourdough bread.
Okay,
it's wonderful. It's got garlic butter and breakfast sausage. And you ready for one, Conrad?
Job took his first bite. I'll take one in a minute.
Okay,
sounds good.
I don't know if I like the bread or the sausage better.
Well, I had it, like I said, a couple of years ago at my buddy Kirk Taylor's up north, and I couldn't believe you could make breakfast sausage with venison.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so good. I'm like, I just kept going on and on about
it. It's got to be all about the seasonings. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that and, of course, I added beef fat, like I did the Italian sausage, and I probably added a little too much. I don't know.
Can't see it in
there. Nice and juicy. No, it all rendered.
Yeah.
I didn't put any grease in the pan. I threw about 8 patties down, and it was just steaming in beef fat when I
yeah.
was done.
It's very flavorful.
Good.
Very good.
Well, I'm glad you
very
like
good.
It. Very good. Glad you like it.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, I had, of course, that one charity event, and then the 20th anniversary for Schmoes to go to, and I cooked for both of them. And I haven't heard back from the charity drop, but I'm sure they had a good time. And I do know that at Schmoes, that pan of pulled pork was wiped out by the time I left.
Yeah.
There was a little in there, so I left my chafing dish and stuff there. But it was a fun crowd, a very big crowd.
Yeah.
So nice to see. Yeah. Lots of good food. Everybody brought something. It was like a family potluck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, all friends. They're all in the mug club, so
sure.
They're all friends.
Yeah.
It was lots of fun.
Thursday night, I did a charity barbecue when I went to the Ducks Unlimited earlier this year. I gave them 3 of them, and one of the guys that bought one is affiliated with the Kent County Sheriff Department.
Oh.
So there's a squad there that he supported, and so on Thursday night, I delivered a barbecue to about 40 of them. And it was a stop and drop, right? They were ready to eat it when I walked in the door.
Nice.
So I didn't even put up chafing dishes. I just set
don't
the
have
hot
to.
Food out
no,
there, man.
You don't
they,
have to.
They attacked it, but so I hope that went well. I haven't heard back, but you know,
it's
again,
fun, isn't
it's
it?
A good time of year to be doing stuff.
I feel
like
you,
this,
brother.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, man.
That's why we do it. Mm-hmm. You do want to try and break even as a barbecue guy, not lose money. But if you're making money, you got to give back. And
right.
So it's fun to give back. And Jop's always been very good about giving back. So a couple nights ago, my son finally thawed this turkey that was given to him by his wife's family over in Grosse Pointe or somewhere there. And it was a big, beautiful turkey. I'd never heard of the brand before, but it was a very fancy label. And I think one of the guys is an investor, and it was a gift.
Yeah, right.
And they don't have kids, so he gave it to my son, of course, knowing his kids eat like, you know.
Sure.
garbage yep. disposals. So I helped him, showed him what to do. We got a sanitary bucket, and we thawed it in water. And then no brining, because it's a processed turkey. You never brine a processed turkey. And then I used that seasoning that I made up for the porchetta
mm-hmm.
with the fennel seed in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And all I used was just nice charcoal that I got from Sobey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I used. And I'm telling you, that thing it was big. It probably took 6 hours at least.
You didn't spatchcock it. You just cooked it
whole. Oh, yeah, no, whole.
Yep.
And I should have taken more pictures of it. It was so gorgeous. I did take some pictures of him the next day slicing it, and we cryovac'd it and put it in the freezer. He's got all their meals all planned out. And, oh, my gosh, the flat, my mouth's watering just thinking about it. But it was probably the best smoked turkey I've ever had. And I've done a bunch of them, but I haven't done one in so long. Maybe that makes it the best, right? You know how that goes.
Well, low and slow, they stay moist, yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of scraps, and he goes, so what do you think with these? I said, well, let's bag those up, and let's dice them up and get them ready for white chili. And his eyes lit up, and he got a pot out. He started making white chili on the spot. And I had a bowl the next day at work, and I'm telling you, the smoke from that turkey is all that chili needed. Mm-hmm. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
So you can do a lot of things if you have a smoker or an egg or a Primo or something like that. Even a Kamado Joe if you're mm-hmm. so.
Yeah. A week and a half ago, we had a office chili cook-off, and there were 9 chilies, and I won. And but it was interesting because we all brought them in crock pots, and somebody went through thinking they were doing a good thing and turned them all on high at about 9:30. Oh my God! We ate at noon, and everybody was burning their mouth because they were just flaming hot, you know. And you didn't know it until you took the first bite.
If you don't know enough, don't touch it.
I understand. I understand. But it was innocent. Somebody thought they were doing a good thing, but.
You know, I had
it was crazy.
I had a similar experience recently, and I won't throw this person under the bus, but it was an event I went to, and this person had Gordon's meatballs in Gordon's marinara sauce, and that was their hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
And they had it on high, and these things were reduced down to marbles.
with a floating layer of a half inch of grease right on the top of the pot.
Yes, it was just wonderful.
Exactly. You know, it happens. Those are the holiday appetizers and sides and things that people are bringing. And, you know, I have to say, they're all well-intended.
No, they're lazy.
Yeah, well, they're that too. But, I mean, they want to just bring something they thought would be really good. I went to a funeral this week. One of my Shartucky buddies' dad passed, and I'll just share real quickly. The family did a tribute to the man that passed, and his two grandsons. I couldn't take it. I was crying like a baby because they were talking about all the wonderful things that their grandfather did with them. Went to all their sports games.
And you knew the guy.
Oh yeah. I grew up with him. He was, you know, like he did this same stuff with me when I was a kid. But he was a, you know, 50 years younger man. And but he went to their ball games, and he you know, took them fishing, he took them hunting, he did all this wonderful stuff, and they were just, you know, glowingly reviewing all of this and how much they're going to miss doing all that stuff with their granddad. And I have now a 2-year-old and about a 2-month-old grandson, and it just hit me like a truck that, man, this guy set the bar. Mm-hmm. This is what you got to do with your grandkids, is get out and spend time with them, right? And I'm choked up just thinking about it because it was so unintended. It wasn't addressed to me by any means, but it hit you like a ton of bricks.
It
hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It's like, I got to be that guy. I want to be that guy that someday when I'm laying there in the box, that somebody they at least got a positive memory or two.
Yeah.
It's not a contest, but to me it was like, holy cow, I got to get my game going here. You know, and they're young.
I think your grandkids are a second chance to raise your kids.
Yeah.
And to have, you know, more time, better time. When I left the house this morning, my grandson Misha, who's 1.5 years old now, and he is a Papa fan.
Yeah.
He just keeps saying, Papa, Papa. And he can't get enough of me. And it's like, you know what? I'm so glad they're staying with us for a little bit because there's a bond that takes place with kids.
Sure.
And we've gone through this. We've been fortunate to have all the grandkids around.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice for Christmas because they'll all be together.
Yeah.
But I think it is your chance to have a bonding time, and that's awesome.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to talk about these holiday. This is our last chat before the Christmas dinner with you guys. So we tend to focus on the center of the plate a lot, but we might go around the side of the plate this time and see what we can do for side dishes that you could have with your holiday grilled or smoked dinner. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com. Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in. Hope you've got your menu planned for your Christmas dinner. But if you haven't, lo and behold, the Grillin' Guys might have some ideas for you.
Ooh.
Barbecue Bob, I see you've written down a couple things here on the show plan. Take it away, brother.
Well, you know, this is funny how these dishes evolve in your mind. And then you see somebody else doing it on a video, and you go, I was thinking about something like that.
Yeah.
I told you a few weeks ago on the show to do something with tater tots, or we were talking about potatoes and brisket. Oh, I was going to do potato, and I'm still going to, potato wedges, or what do you call them? Potato skins.
Right.
With brisket.
Okay.
Well, I saw a TikTok video of, there's so many.
Oh, sure.
But this one guy, and here's what you do. You go to the supermarket or your produce shop, and you buy a bunch of really nice potatoes that you're going to want to bake. Don't get them too big, because if you're doing potato skins, sure, get the big Idahos. But if you're going to do some of these things we're going to talk about now, those medium-sized yellows are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I say bake them only because you want the skin on them.
Yep.
If you boil them, you're going to probably lose a certain amount of the skin and a bunch of the nutrients in the water. Well, so if you've got a bunch of these potatoes processed, you can just sort of get your tapestry in any way you want it to go. You know, you can just get stupid crazy and start throwing stuff on it. And if you don't like it, somebody will. So here's one that I saw that I was referring to before, and it's called a smashed potato. It's kind of a thing. In this case, they had a big baked potato. They sliced a V down the center. They put a big wedge of like garlic butter in the middle.
Ooh, I like it already.
Yeah, and if I was Jop, I would probably put cheese, that cream cheese.
Borzen
down the middle. And then they stacked cheddar cheese on it and onions, and they took one of these, and you've got an outdoor griddle, so you must have a smashing tool by
now. I do.
They took one of those, and they just pressed it down.
Because it was already boiled,
It was cooked, or baked. That butter started melting, and the borzen started melting, and then the cheddar started melting over it, and they just smashed it right down until that cheese was oozing out on the sides and made sort of a cool, I don't know, it looked like a lattice around it or something, you know,
right.
Like a doily. And then he scoops it up with a big spatula, puts it on a plate. Oh, I'm sorry. Before he put the cheddar down, after the butter and the borzen, he put brisket down.
Oh, okay. So it's a
and that
so
went, that went
this
along
just
with
went
that,
from side to main right
that,
there.
That,
yeah.
went, that went along with that brisket idea I was doing. This guy proved it, and it's exactly.
So
I
the mean, brisket's in the wedge too.
Yeah. So he put the butter, some sort of cheese, and then brisket, and then he covered it in cheddar, shredded yellow cheese of some sort, and then smashed the whole thing on a hot griddle. And just held it down for a little while, and you could see everything oozing out of it and burning up on the sides. And then he scoops it up, puts it on a platter, puts sour cream on it, and chives, and some chopped tomatoes maybe or something like that, maybe pimento, I couldn't tell. But there's a bunch of recipes like that. But you talk about bringing something in and watching your friends go crazy.
Right.
This you're going to go crazy for because it's a baked potato with garlic butter, brisket, cheese, sour cream.
Yeah. How bad can that be?
Wow. That sounds wonderful.
It was so cool, but, you know, it's a special season, so if you're going to have friends and guests and family over, do something special and go out, you know, don't do Gordon's meatballs.
Right.
That's a takeaway.
Yeah. There's a place for them, but not on your holiday dinner table.
Yeah, here's another one I found that was really cool. It was bacon jam cheeseburger egg rolls.
Okay.
Bacon
jam. It was so weird. Yeah, but the guy, now what I would do, you buy the egg roll wrappers. I learned the hard way a couple years ago when I tried making them for us.
Right.
You buy the egg roll wrappers.
Yeah, they're in like the fresh food case, usually by the vegetables. They're because they're a plant-based egg roll wrapper. So yeah they're in there. Come like 40 in a pack, little rectangular pack. Okay.
So you chop up some bacon and you make a bacon jam on it. You can find various recipes for that. I'm not going to bore you, but you can even buy it in a jar like that. It's really good. They sell it at Old World. And then if it's my hamburger, I'm going to take about a cigar-sized piece, a shorty of raw hamburger, and I'm going to set that down, and I'm going to put that bacon cheeseburger on top of it, and then I'm going to wrap it in the egg roll, and I'm going to fry it up.
Okay, deep fry it, or are you going to fry it in a pan?
I would deep fry it.
Right.
That's why I'm using raw burger, because I want it to be medium rare when I get done with it. But it's got to be good burger. You can't do that from supermarket burger.
Right.
But if you've got a Tim Sobey in your future or your life, you can use their burger all day long.
Right.
Whatever temp you want.
And so when you lay this wrapper down, it's maybe like, they're usually like 4 inches by 4 inches.
Yeah, like 6 by 6, something like that. 6 by 6.
You can buy different sizes. Yeah. Exactly. So, but what a little secret on that is make yourself a little bit of an egg wash.
Oh,
and because that's the glue that'll hold the wrapper together.
That's exactly right.
But at the end of the day, you know, you lay your stuff in the middle, fold in the edges, roll it up, and then that egg wash, right? Kind of like your glue.
They did wash it, and that's what makes the outside of that shell so nice.
Right. Yep. It'll
certain pies. Tony's Vicky's pasty in Saranac, they make a vegetarian pasty.
Yeah,
they egg wash the outside of it. I'm telling you, I love their regular one. I've got one in my car right now.
Just in case I slip in the ditch, I got something to eat while they come.
There's a story there. I won't bore you. But they made these vegetarians because his daughter's vegetarian.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter Olivia is too, and she absolutely loves those.
Right.
So when I want to get on her better side, I just do that. So brisket smashed potatoes, that's cool. We already kind of covered that. Here was a really cool thing I saw. And I would do it with St. Louis ribs. They called it baby backs, but as I looked at them, they were spares.
Yep.
And he took
leaves that bottom layer of cartilage on it.
No, they were St. Louis ribs. Right. They were cut already, so they were all perfect 6-inch ribs. There was a, you know, 18, 20-inch strip of it. And they took it and they formed it in a circle on a baking plate and of some sort. And then they took dowlings or, you know, the little pins or the big toothpicks or skewers and put the end together. And then they put their baked beans in the middle of that.
Uh-huh. Kind of a crown roast of beans.
And then they put a bacon weave on top of it. Glazed it with maple syrup, and they smoked the whole thing for about 3 hours.
And the ribs were raw.
They were raw.
And the beans
when they started.
were raw.
Everything was just raw. Smoked it for 3 hours. When they got it out, the bacon weave was like a roof over a shack. So he just crunched that up, and it's maple bacon going down in the beans. And he started slicing those ribs off there, and the beans just came running out like hot lava. Cool presentation, man. It was like so cool. Just to, you know, so you can. There's no license required for any of this.
Right. Somebody just thought of that. But
yeah.
What a great presentation.
Isn't that cool?
To just pull that thing out of the smoker and set it on the table and then start cutting ribs for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know.
But you're right. The spares would work better because they're taller
and they're thinner.
Right.
The baby backs have a bit too much meat on them.
Right.
And they're not going to bend.
Right.
As well, But yeah. Whatever. Use whichever
That's
ones you like.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, coming up next, we've got one of our friends from the show, Chef Andy Schultz. And Andy is a chef extraordinaire, professionally trained and really good at what he does. He's going to talk to us about some Christmas sides as well. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bob, those were some great sides that we just covered. And we've got another guy on the line that has forgot more about cooking than I'll ever know. And so who we got with us?
One of our board of directors, Chef Andy Schultz from Four Chefs. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good, Andy. Thanks, man. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you guys.
So, Andy, we're covering, you know, we've got 3-4 days when the show airs here until we get to Christmas, right? And we were just covering sides. We tend to focus on the center of the plate a lot. And so just wanted to touch base with you. If you've got a couple favorite sides that you do for the holidays, like to hear what they are and maybe a little bit how to make them.
Yeah, so a side that I like to use is like a maple bacon Brussels sprout, a crispy Brussels sprout. Ooh. So I would take the Brussels sprouts. I cut them in half. I cut the ends off a little bit, and then I steam them for like 3 minutes. And then I add oil to the pan to crisp them up. And then on, like, in the oven, I have bacon going to crisp up the bacon. And then once everything comes out, I chop up the bacon, I add the Brussels sprouts, and then I drizzle a maple balsamic vinaigrette over top. And it's to die for. People love it.
I've seen, you've done that at events. I've seen you posting pictures of that, and it makes me hungry every time I see it.
Yeah, we've been selling that a lot this last 3 weeks, and people rave about it.
So you steam them first, and then you put a little oil in the pan to get them crispy. Did I hear that?
Yep.
I think that's, to me, that's a big key to this recipe, because they're those little leaves that fall off, you want those to be just a little crunchy. I mean,
you
it's
really
a texture
do.
Thing, man, and they always do when you've cut the little butt off them. So, oh, they're so good that way.
So are you going to serve it in the pan you sautéed all that in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to have it in a cast iron pan, kind of gives it a rustic look. And then I usually put some bricks on the table, and then it just kind of lifts up that the cast iron pan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob would do that in a Dutch oven, but yeah, cast iron's good.
I actually didn't I buy you one of those great big 22 inches?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I use it all the time.
That's a favorite gift I get them for people all the time, because Lodge is just such a great product.
Yep, exactly. So that sounds great, Andy. What else you got, man?
So another one I've done was a smoked macaroni and cheese. So I would make my macaroni and cheese sauce. So I would start off with melt some butter in the pan, add some flour. You want equal parts of butter to flour to make a roux. You want to cook that roux for about 3 to 4 minutes until you kind of smell like a popcorn smell. And then you would add your heavy cream, and then you would add a little bit more of whole milk, and then you add your cheeses. I like to use a smoked cheddar cheese and then a smoked Gouda, and then some pepper jack cheese in there, melt it in. And then I would add my cooked noodles into that sauce, and then put it into a pan and then throw it on your smoker at 225 degrees, and that smokiness adds a robust flavor as well.
So when you're doing your noodles, you're going to pre-cook those and then glaze them with butter, right, to keep them from connecting, sticking to each other? And I got to tell you all, when I did that Ghost Kitchen several years ago, Chef Andy used to drop in on me and give me little tips. And that was a lot of help when you said to oil up those macaroni before you do your cheese, because it sped up my process. And it's nice to have that stuff pre-done and in the fridge. You can just pull it out. And anyway, he's like, this guy's like a son to me, and I love him dearly.
Yeah. Anything slathered with butter is going to be good. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. And heavy cream and cheese. You can't go wrong with that around the Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, eat and then go and sit and watch football. I mean, that's what this is all about after the holiday dinner.
So what other type of side would you think would be for Christmassy? Because mac and cheese, you're right, is always good. And I like the touch of smoke.
Another one would be like a scalloped potato. I've used in the past as well. So scalloped potatoes, you thinly slice Idaho potatoes. And then I like to boil my potatoes in heavy cream and milk just to pre-boil the potatoes. And then I take that sauce and put it into the pan and then finish it in the oven. I like to top it with Gruyere cheese and just as another robust flavor on top.
So that's how you say that, Gruyere?
Yeah.
So seasoning wise, on a potatoes can be bland, right? Now you're doing them in milk and cream, and that's going to give them a little umami flavor. Yeah. But or udaddy, whoever is cooking them. But what would you use for seasoning?
Mixture as well.
Pink sea salt.
To that.
Yes. Yeah. The little SPG, Himalayan. The salt, pepper, garlic. Yeah. That cures everything that ails you. Is salt,
it
pepper,
does.
Garlic. Yeah, man. Well, that's cool, Andy. So you staying in town for Christmas, or are you headed out somewhere?
I actually have my mom's side of the family coming in on Saturday, so I'm cooking for 35 family members. We're doing prime rib. We're doing a Vermont chicken. We're doing
what's a Vermont chicken?
So it's a pounded-out chicken breast, sear it in the cast iron skillet,
yes.
And then I make a sauce from that. So I had bacon, chicken broth, and then I will top it with shredded Vermont white cheddar cheese.
So the reason I asked you about that chicken is because that's another thing I see a lot of people doing on TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and various channels. When they're all pounding out those chicken breasts, they're putting plastic down around the thing.
Yeah,
I have an issue with that. I don't want to pound plastic into my chicken.
No. So how do you flatten it, Andy? What's your way to do it? If it's with plastic, that's fine.
I use a meat mallet to pound it out.
Yep. Just on a board.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they do the plastic so it doesn't splatter. Yeah, and I'd rather sanitize a kitchen.
Yeah, right. Clean up afterwards, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So you're going to pound out those breasts, and then what?
And then you get add the oil to the pan, get the pan nice and hot, and then you put the chicken and breasts away from you so you don't splash the oil back on yourself. So you go away from yourself.
What are you putting on that breast before you put it in there?
I marinate it in some fresh herbs. So I have thyme and rosemary and then some garlic.
Because I've seen people using panko.
Yeah, that's breading.
No, I'm not breading this.
Okay.
I'm just doing just an herb and then straight right on in the pan of the oil.
Yep, and then you just cook it till it's done, and then again, what were the toppings that you're going to put on there after the chicken is almost done?
I use bacon, and then it's going to be a chicken broth, and then just reduce it so it's kind of like a thick consistency, and then I'll top it with a shredded Vermont white cheddar cheese.
So you're going to serve that in like a casserole dish, I mean a cake pan type of thing where it's all, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it does.
I'll take pictures and send them all over on Facebook on Saturday.
Yeah, in a to-go container would be okay.
Right.
Yeah. For the
what was your address again?
Yeah. Come
you
over.
You got 35. Two more won't matter. Come on.
Yeah. Yep. I got a nice prime rib.
Well, it's nice that you get to see your mom's family. I hope they're all well, and make sure you give your mom a hug from us.
I will, for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. That's Chef Andy from Four Chefs Catering.
Andy, you still there?
Yep.
One last thing. Four Chefs Catering. You guys do in-home meals. You deliver meals, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Tell us just 10 seconds what that's all about. You still doing that, and is it going well?
It's going very well. So they're fully cooked meals that we prepare on Mondays, and then you can come pick them up in Caledonia at American Legion, or we deliver out to your house. We're like Hello Fresh and Ship. So we send out the menus on Tuesdays. You fill out the menu by Friday, and then we produce it all on Monday. And so they're fully cooked meals. All you have to do is heat them up in the microwave or throw them in the oven, and the meal's ready for you in 30 minutes, and it's a fresh product.
What a great
unbelievable
idea.
Yep. And this is a lot better than ordering it through the mail, I'm going to tell you that
it
right
is.
Now.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. Well, Andy, take care, and happy holidays to you and your family, and thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. You as well. Happy holidays.
See you, Andy.
Yeah. Very cool, man. You got to try that. If you're in a busy family, he's a wonderful guy to bring you food once a week. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk some more food. And I think who we got on the show coming, Bob?
We have Martin Earle.
Chef Martin Earle. Yeah, things are going to get hot now.
Thermopen.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. My grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Boy, I'm telling you, Chef Andy had some great ideas there. You know what? Listen to our podcast if you want to hear those back, because those are some great recipes for sides that we were talking about. And he also tells you how to cook them, right, Bob?
Well, that's right. And this fellow on the live line right now is Chef Martin Earle from ThermoWorks. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Another great one to replay, because when you get these seasoned chefs on, you can't always write fast enough, or you're driving, you don't remember it. So that's why our podcast is so valuable. Go to thegrillingguys.com and look at that headset in the top right corner of the website and click on it. And we'll send it, or just go to your Apple podcast app and type in The Grillin' Guys, and you'll see our really totally cool logo. And anyway, Chef Martin, we got our RFX presence from you, RFX meat. And tell everybody at the company, thank you so much. I just handed Jop his.
Yeah, he was holding out on me. And so I thought, well, I think he was thinking about keeping two of them is what he was doing.
I had it in my car.
It's understandable.
I had it in my car, and I loaned my car out, and whoever used it, I won't throw them under the bus, but took it out. So I finally found it in the garage. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is cool. I'm just looking at it right now. So this is an incredible gift for the griller and your family. Tell us a little bit about it, Martin.
So RFX is ThermalWorks' new wireless probe thermometer. You know, we were late to the game in wireless probe thermometers. There were a lot that came before us, but we waited until we knew we could do it right, and we think that we've really done it right. RFX consists of the RFX meat, that's the probe that goes into the food, and RFX gateway, that's the home base that communicates with it. Some wireless probes talk with Bluetooth to your phone. This talks with radio frequencies to the base, and then the base talks to the Wi-Fi in your house, and then you can look at it from anywhere in the world.
So the radios
on the cloud.
The radio waves Martin's talking about is the RF. That's radio frequency. So
that's
a new thing for our type of cooking, and it's really awesome. But this is beautiful. It's these two probes. They're like so totally cool. How do they charge?
So the cradle that they come in is the charging cradle, and that runs off of, I think it's a AAA battery, might be a AA battery.
No kidding.
So if they're not charging, then you just need to replace the battery in the cradle.
Too cool.
When you click them in there, they turn off automatically, and they charge, and you get. They're gonna chew me out for not remembering the stat off the top of
my
head. But you get I think a 90% charge in like 15 minutes out of something like that.
Well, that's awesome.
So yeah, it charges really fast. And then the battery life on it, the way that it transmits, you set how often you want it to transmit based on. Basically on what kind of thing you're cooking. Like if you're cooking a steak that cooks really fast, you set it to 1 degree transmission. So that means it sends the information every time it senses a degree change. But if you're cooking something long and slow, like a brisket, you set it to 3 degrees transmission. And then like, you know, when you're going through the stall, you're only going to get, it also has what we call heartbeat transmission. So it'll transmit even if there's no temperature change every so often, so that way you don't waste battery transmitting, you know, every second, every 2 seconds, and we get really long battery life out of it that way.
That is so cool. So I now will be gifting my smoke, because you guys gave me a smoke years ago, which is really cool, but it's, you know, older technology. And of course, now with this whiz bang thing, I'm going to be showing off all the time. But there's
I get that. I still love my wired thermometers because they do things. I don't have to have my phone to use them. But I absolutely understand that. People have been really enthusiastic about how this works, and it's pretty easy to set up. It's actually changed the way that I cook meat.
This RFX also has a wired probe. How does that work?
Yeah, so it has a wired probe on the gateway, and we did that because, you know, we did a lot of experimentation on the accuracy of a temperature of an air probe sensor on the as part of the probe. Many of our competitors have an air probe sensor in the antenna section of their meat probe.
So you can just
a lot of work.
So you can
on
just
that.
Put
and
that
we found
probe.
That those were in general just not accurate. It was hard to make it work right because the meat itself sucks up temperature, and so you end up with a reading that is lower than is truthful for what the air environment is. So we put that there so that you can use an included air probe that comes with it in your grill, in your smoker. So it's there. And because of that, you can also run the bills with it, right? We've got a barbecue control fan with it, and that will connect to the gateway and use that air probe to talk to the billows, and it'll control the temperature of your smoker.
That's
you can
something
also put
else.
Any old one of our Pro Series probes in there that you want. If you're like, well, I mean, look, got two meat probes, and that's great, but I'm cooking three things. You can plug a meat probe in there and have it do the same thing.
So I think that's very cool. And you just made me realize I might want to keep my old smoke, because you don't need to have Wi-Fi for it. And I'll be able to barbecue after the apocalypse. So I'm going to hang on to that.
Yeah. No, or you know, in the event of a Wi-Fi outage or something like that, that, you know, I like both things. I'm not getting rid of any of my wired thermometers. Yeah. I'm just going to, like, put this on top of them. Well, and then we'll just work our way down through the stack.
And, like, I go up to deer camp all the time, and I've got now an extra smoker I'm going to bring up there. So I could just use that one there, and I could be up in my tree and let my alarm go off.
Yes. Fantastic.
ThermoWorks has a lot of wonderful products. This is the new stuff.
We're in the fuck walk.
Oh, I'm sorry, Martin.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. I was talking over you. My apologies.
Sorry. Are we okay there?
Yeah. I was going to say is ThermoWorks has a variety of products that are at a myriad of price points. One of them I'm using right now while we're on the show is your Signals, which is a Wi-Fi / Bluetooth application, because it connects to my Wi-Fi at home, but it sends the readings. I've got butts on the smoker right now as we're talking, and I can tell you what their internal temperatures are and what the cooking chamber is here.
So
I'll be using the new one the next time I do this.
So then the advantage of this, Chef Martin, is the advantage of the one he's using right now. It works if you're close enough to your router. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. So with all the Wi-Fi thermometers, you need to be close enough to your router or a hotspot or something like that, right? To communicate with that. Signals can communicate via Bluetooth if there is no Wi-Fi. Then you can communicate via Bluetooth if you're close enough to it.
But the radio frequency,
with signals, you can see the temperature on the signals if you're standing next to it.
But the radio frequency from RFX, that goes much further, is what I'm understanding. Radio RF is much further.
That's correct. So the probe communicates with the gateway, and the gateway communicates with the probe back and forth. With radio frequency, it's sub gigahertz technology, and that means it has much deeper penetration for the same energy.
Well, we're all about that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we just ran out of time, and I'm getting the hook from the producer here, but sure appreciate you taking time to come on. We could have this conversation for literally hours, because the stuff you guys put out. But where can people find you, Chef Martin?
Blog.thermoworks.com, also Instagram at Chef Martin Earl, and and check out the ThermoWorks website, check out RFX. We're so glad you guys finally got yours, and I look forward to hearing how you like them.
We'll be doing that. All right, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we will talk with you next week.
See ya.